visit you at a place that you resided.
Okay. I don't understand. You don't think we got it. In 2020, I lived in South Fulton.
Okay.
That's the only place I lived in South Fulton. That's before I had to abandon my home, Judge.
All right.
And at my home in South Fulton, he never came there, okay? So if you don't come someplace, you can't live there.
Ms. Wells, I'm going to have to caution you. This is going to be the first time I have to caution you. We have to listen to the questions as asked. And if this happens again and again, I'm going to have no choice but to strike your testimony. So we need to break this down. Ms. Merchant's question, I believe, is asking whether you lived anywhere other than South Fulton.
You've done all the reading. You're a scholar. You're a professor. You've done all the reading. You've done the intellectual heavy lifting.
More or less, eat shit and die.
You wouldn't know a fact if it begged you all night long.
Want to, give the wrong impression, because I am very high.
F***ing right up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Yeah. Care. I'm a libertarian. What I'm getting is,
did you vote for Joe Jorgensen or Trump?
Who?
Joe Jorgensen?
That was the perfect answer. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. This is Tyler Yonke, the Libertarian Podcast Review. We're coming to you live on a Friday with new music. That's actually the name of the group. It's very gay. I hope you're going to enjoy it. Look, I'm JC's already in the chat. He's saying, oh, my God. Hi, Andy. Hope everyone's here. I don't think Andy's here. Andy deserted us. He's got a new living situation. But hopefully he will be joining us at some point. I hope everyone can hear me okay. For some reason, my settings feel a lot off. Let's just go double check them. Here we go. Everything's pumped up. That looks good. My gain's all the way up. Let's hit it, people. It's a Friday afternoon. We've got Fannie Willis in the game, in the chat. No, on the line. On YouTube. We're going to play some clips of that stuff. We're going to do a little bit of legal stuff. I just wanted to say, first of all, and we'll tone this music down a little bit here. I didn't prepare for this week. Now I'm falling behind a little bit. I've got a lot of work at my job. And so that I've got to take care of that kind of stuff. And what happens is I come home from work, hang out with my wife. I do some other things. I produce the Tower Gang show. So that takes up my time. I got to prepare for these wankers. And then, I don't always have time for this show, and I have things I've got in mind. And then, you know, so Tyler, just get your shit together. Yeah. That's exactly what we need to do. So we're going to get it together, and we're going to do a few things. And I've decided to go down some of these legal paths. Tonight is JIP, Joint in Progress Job. Reed. Yeah, I do have one. By the way, I saw you in a Spaces last night with Clint Russell. And you know what? This is my job's done for the day. I'm going to crack open. If this spills on my my desktop, I'm going to be pissed off here. Look at that, not too much. Happy Friday. Okay. So Fannie Willis, she called it Fannie Willis, but let's be honest here. She's a black lady. We're not going to call her Fannie. We're going to call her Fannie. What we're going to do is there's a thing called JIP in the business. Okay. Join in progress. Okay. We're just going to pop into some of these things, and I don't have a clips ready to go. Why does it sound like my gain is not up? Am I not close enough to this thing? Feels like it should be. So we're going to join in some of these videos and just kind of see some, play some stuff there and just kind of enjoy it. And everyone's going to relax. We're not going to have everything so set in the ways. And by the way, that's tough for me to do at times because I like to have things planned out and to go there. Okay. Lincoln says, about to get off work and crack one of those myself. Good for you. Are you still sleeping on the floor or you got a bed now? Lincoln, famously, we did a whole podcast series with Eric and Lincoln and I about The Last Mandalorian. Hopefully we'll do that again. It was painful, but it was so much fun. Let's check. So here's the deal. I'm going to have to read because I am not up. Oops, let's stop that one. Almost left the screen here. I am not up on everything with, let me see. There we go. With the cases with Trump, okay? So he's down in Georgia. There's a case down in Georgia. And Trump, maybe you knew about him. He's Lincoln is still floor mixing. He sleeps on the fucking floor. It's baller. So Trump, if you didn't know, he's the president of the United States, former president of the United States. Okay. And then he gets, Biden gets, quote, elected, and Trump's no longer the king. So during that election, the last election, there was some issues with ballots and whatnot down in Georgia. So there was a phone call that old Mr. Trump had down there to, I think, the governor. And he said, find the votes. And so with that, they're going after Trump. Now, this DA, district attorney, her name is Fani Willis. I don't even know all the details, but there's some nefariousness between her. She's the DA and the guy that's doing the prosecuting, both blacks. I don't know if that has anything, but her dad, by the way, testified today. He's a former Black Panther. Now, you know, he the whole time in his life, he's said, you know, police piece of shit. He just seems like a fairly intelligent guy because he lied pretty well. But now he's on the stand talking about how cops, there was some funny stuff there. Now, maybe we'll get to it, which is, she's going to talk about it. She was elected, and then when she was sworn into office, she had to leave. She had to leave her office, her house, because there were just too many death threats and whatnot there. Now, that's not really what happened, but that's what she's claiming. And then he's claiming that that's the case too. And he's like, I've never seen anything like this. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, he testified that he was defending people for civil rights things in Rwanda. Okay. He was also a Black Panther, talked about unrest in the civil rights movement. But this is what was, yes, they used the B word and the N word on our house. I'm like, sweet. I mean, come on. I don't know that I believe it. Now, he's like, you can check with the police, and I would hope that they do. Okay, so Trump, Georgia case, hearing on motion to disqualify Fani Willis continues. Now, I will say this. If they disqualify her, it doesn't mean that the case goes away, right? There's still this case out there. Now, maybe a different district attorney, so I don't know all the details. I'm just trying to get them out here because I want to play these clips, which I was a little bit more interested in. So let's give a little background here. Georgia hearing over efforts to disqualify District Attorney Fani Willis concludes. Here's what to expect next. The evidentiary hearing in Georgia over whether to disqualify Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis has concluded for the time being, a judge said Friday. Fulton County, Georgia. Yeah, I think that's the county also with Leo Frank. Interesting. 1913, go check out our Leo Frank series that we did with Pete Quinones. The attorneys will likely have to return in the next few weeks to discuss outstanding issues, including whether Nathan Wade, that's her main squeeze, the special prosecutor Willis hired to lead the case, can still assert attorney-client privilege over some testimony and evidence from his former law partner and divorce attorney Terrence Bradley. Both defense attorneys, prosecutors also will have the opportunity to file additional legal briefs as they see fit. The evidentiary hearing included a tumultuous 2 days of testimony, including from Willis herself. Before the hearing concluded, the district attorney's office sought to undermine Bradley's credibility, including by raising an allegation of sexual assault by an employee of his former law firm. Bradley denied the allegation. Bradley testified earlier Friday that he left the firm following a disagreement, but said the details of the disagreement were privileged. During cross-examination, Bradley was pressed on whether he left because of a disagreement over a sexual assault allegation made against him. That is not correct, Bradley said, but confirmed that he would accused of sexually assaulting a member of the firm, that he confirmed that he was accused of that. The judge presiding over the case, Scott McAfee, questioned whether Bradley had been properly interpreting the privilege he had. Anyway, da da da. Look, hello, I got $2. This makes me feel like we're gonna put this up on the screen here because if it really feels like this is let's just read it. This is from Rumble. Hello, Rumble, fellow Rumble Rambler. Hope you're having a good night and even a better weekend. Let's go Rumble. And they gave me $2. That seems rather Dermouth. Thank you very much. I'm confused as to that, but you can go check that over on Rumble as well. People giving us money. Dickie says link, but I don't think so. Okay, so let's get into so that's kind of the case. That's where we're at. And I don't understand all of the details there, but I want to talk about the details regarding. You're welcome, says Dermouth. Okay, Thanks. There you go. Thank you. I don't know. You're giving me money, and I'm a fellow rambler. Maybe I'll go check out your web. Yes, I'll go check out your page for that. That's $2. I think maybe that's what happens. Okay, so let's play a little bit of Fani. She testified, and it was fascinating because she is horrible. And this is what's, to me, the most interesting part, which is, attorneys being witnesses. And Tyler, have you been a witness yourself? Yeah. And it's not always easy. But I don't think that this is how I would comport myself necessarily. So let's play a little bit of this. I'm going to jump around. I'm going to start right at the beginning with her here because it starts off right away. I'm going to do 1.5. I'm not going to play a full 2 hours of this. We're going to jump. That's why it's join in progress. We're just going to jump around. But let's check this out. By the way, here's the controversy too. You can see right here on her. Let's get it. Can we get a full screen, people? There we go. You can see right here on her dress. There's a zipper down the front. Now this her dress was on backwards. That's what everyone said, that her dress was on backwards. What was she doing prior to the show, to her testimony, that she had to rummage and quickly put her dress on? It's confusing to me, but there you go. There's your DA of Tyler, what are you doing here? DA of down there in Fulton County wearing a dress backwards. Okay, let's go.
I ran to the courtroom. So as soon as you heard the
mystery, start right from
district,
there we go.
District Attorney Fani, F-A-N-I, last name is Willis. Ms. Willis, how did you know to come in the courtroom right
then? There were people I was pacing in my office,
correct?
And I heard someone yell, "His testimony is done." It only made sense to me that I would be your next witness. And I've been very anxious to have this conversation.
By the way, they're asking this because she showed up before them calling their next witness, who it was going to be. She just showed up to be the witness. And they're like, "We haven't officially gone and sent for you. We'd mentioned it in court. Hey, maybe you're watching this live." That's not supposed to be
done. I ran to the courtroom. So as soon as you heard that Mr. Wade was done testifying, that's when you just assumed you would be the next witness?
It only makes sense.
Did you listen to any of the testimony?
I've been in my office pacing, ma'am.
Did you listen to any of the arguments?
I did hear the arguments this morning. It's ridiculous to me that you lied on Monday, and yet here we still are. And I did listen to that argument.
I can't help but join in here a little bit. So notice when there's a question asked, is she answering? And this is a yes or no question. And she wants to pontificate. She wants to say all this because it's a media thing for her, which this is how she projects herself. And so would she allow this to happen if she's on the stand? No. For me, enough for thee type of thing. Let's keep going, though.
All right. So that was it. Just the argument. No testimony.
Right, I listened to the argument.
Yes or no?
Where Adam Abadi, I thought, did an excellent job pointing out how dishonest you were with the court on Monday. And I'm actually surprised that the hearing continued. But since it did, here I am.
Great. So let's just talk about what you did in preparation for today. Did you meet with Mr. Wade at all? Once the motion was filed, did you meet with Mr. Wade and talk to him about the motion that I filed to disqualify you?
On January, this first January motion?
Yes.
I don't know if you could say talked about. I probably had some choice words about some of the things that you said that were dishonest within this motion. So I don't know that it was a conversation. As you know, Mr. Wade is a Southern gentleman. Me, not so much.
Okay, but my question was, did you have a conversation with him?
I didn't have a substantive conversation.
You did not?
I read this motion, skimmed it more so, and I probably said some choice things to him about some of the lies that were told.
Okay.
And then printed in the media because, you know, we used to be in a day and time where you had 60 minutes and people did stories and they verified information and you had this great reporting. But it seems today that a lawyer writes a lie and then it's printed for all of the world to see.
Well, I just want to make sure that you answer the question I asked, though. So my question was...
Overruled, Mr. Abadi.
I told you what happened. I read the motion. I am sure I told him what my opinion of it is.
Right.
And pass that.
By the way, the opposing counsel just said objection asked and answered. In other words, you can't just keep asking the same question. It's been asked and it's been answered. And the judge overrules it because she's asking specific questions and those are not the answers that she is giving. So he said overruled.
Yeah, no substantive conversation.
You did not.
Is there something you didn't understand?
No, I just want to make sure that you did not have a meeting with him in the conference room to discuss the motion.
All right, next question, Ms. Merchant.
So in the conference room of my office within this week, you produced some financial document. That financial document was given to me, something, and I'm not even sure if it was given to him by me or Mr. Abadi.
That attorney has a big rack. Look at that. It's all in the camera.
He gave it to me, and I think he showed me a document in our conference room. But as far as a substantive conversation, I would not have. I don't believe I've had any conversation with him that is substantive related to this.
Okay.
I have had conversations with him since you filed the motion, but they wouldn't be substantive to this. He sent me very nice sermons that have been done.
And sermons.
So we had conversations about, did you listen to that sermon?
And the Lord said, wear your dress backwards so I could get easy front door access.
Things of that nature. And I would say they were in relationship to this because I think he did it to be kind.
Okay. Let's start back in 2019. Yep. So you and Mr. Wade met in October 2019 at a conference?
That is correct. Okay. And I think in one of your motions you tried to implicate I slept with him at that conference, which I find to be extremely offensive. I stayed at that conference. Mr. Wade was my teacher. I did not meet him.
I stayed awake the whole time. There was no sleeping. I did give him a handy.
Taught the class. I was standing outside talking to Lisa Reeves, who is a judge.
Yeah, loads of honey. It says, what an angle. Exactly. This is the opposing counsel. I mean, why is the camera not on her more? It's a boob cam. This is like the James, what's his name, that does the undercover stuff when he goes into like the locker room with Mark Cuban and he has the stuff there. That's what this camera looks like on the Trump's attorney. He always gets the hotties. I don't know if she's hot.
Mr. Wade.
But I'd like to know.
Each other. They have some brief conversation. She introduces us.
Your Honor, I'm going to object. We kind of thought that when you ask a question, you can answer the question. Not a speech, so I object to the speech.
I agree. Don't make to explain my answers.
I believe you did. That's my answer.
It's interesting there. Jesus. She's a DA. So she's an experienced attorney. I want to explain my answers. No. She knows that is not part of the deal. It's you ask the question, your counsel will give you a chance on redirect to straighten those things out, maybe to give some explanation. It's not up to you to... So anyway, she's such a...
That's okay. I can handle it, Ms. Willis. I'll ask you just listen to the answer, or excuse me, the question, and keep the answers confined to the question as best you can. I think you'll have more than enough ample opportunity on... when the state
it's highly offensive when someone lies on you, and it's highly offensive when they try to
why is it lies on you when he lies on you that about lies about you or is perpetuating lies on you? By the way, does that mean sleeping?
Okay, that you slept with somebody the first day you met with them, and I take exception to it.
All right, well, Ms. Willis, you'll have the opportunity to explain all of that when right. The state's turn to ask more open-ended questions. Yeah. Ms. Merchant.
Thank you, Judge. So again, my question was, you all met at that conference, though, right?
We did. Okay. As I stated, he taught the class. I did not actually meet him when he taught the class. I walked out of the class, and I'm not sure if it was that exact class or we had went to lunch, but we were standing in the vestibule, like outside of the class. Me and Judge Reeves were having a conversation. She had worked at a law firm I worked at back in 1996.
We're getting way afar. I mean, I don't mind her explaining her answers, but I literally just asked if they met at that conference.
She's explaining how she met Mr. Wade, which is exactly the question asked by Ms. Merchant. His answers are more than appropriate.
Ms. Merchant, if you want more concise answers, perhaps you could lead the witness.
I will. Thank you, Judge. Isn't it true that you met Mr. Wade in October 2000?
By the way, he's basically saying there, we are treating you as a hostile witness because you can't do leading questions on direct. But if it's a hostile witness, you can, or you can ask the court for that. The judge is just saying, hey, yeah, go ahead and do this. Yowd. Does that mean I'm loud? I don't know. Oh, you'd be thinking DA would improve your grammar. Yeah, you would. So what the judge has just done there, he's like, look, I get it. You can do... And by the way, she's asking some yes or no's, but Fani is a little bit too forthcoming. So, you know what? Go ahead and do leading questions. And they're going to object to that probably.
I
think we have
very much want to be.
See, and she has got to chime in. But
so I'm not a hostile witness. I very much want to be.
Not so much that you're hostile, Ms. Willis, it'd be an adverse witness. Your interest.
Yeah. So hostile is an artful way to say it, which is basically it can be someone who, like you said, wants to be there. What a dumb bitch. It's not. How is she an attorney? I am embarrassed for my clan. Yet there's a lot of these out there. And by the way, maybe I suck this bad too. I don't know.
Merchant's interests are contrary to democracy, Your Honor, not to mine.
I'm sorry. Okay. So these are the Democrats. This is the lovely shit you get here. Let's go back there. I wanted to get that just a little bit because she makes this common comment about democracy. Fuck you.
Mr. Wade, October 2019, at the judge's conference.
He hasn't gotten to the point where Ms. Willis should be treated hostile.
I think we
have. I very much want to be here, so I'm not a hostile witness. I very much want to be
here. Not so much that you're hostile, Ms. Willis, it'd be an adverse witness. Your interests are opposed to Ms. Merchant's.
Ms. Merchant's interests are contrary to democracy, Your Honor, not to mine.
That's ridiculous. Your office brought suit against Donald Trump, okay? They have every right to defend themselves as vigorously as possible, including, I mean, by the way, if this wasn't some sort of valid claim that with her and Wade or whatever is Nathan Wade and all this nefarious shit going on here to disqualify her, this judge would not be taking 2-3 days to listen to arguments and have her testify. He would have just waved it out of hand. But it's so damning that, of course, he's taking it here. And so it's subverting a democracy or against democracy. Well,
right, we can keep things moving. Ms. Merchant, next question, please.
Okay, so we've confirmed when you met. After that, isn't it true?
No, I need to explain this, and I think I get to explain my answers. When I met
you don't.
Judge Reeves introduced us.
Object. Oh, there
he
we go. Titty cam.
Business card. I'm unsure if I handed him my business card, but we exchanged information. He said, if you ever need any help, give me a call. And he walked to the parking lot.
So after that, you started dating shortly thereafter, correct?
A lie. That's one of your lies.
Okay. Do you know Robin Yerdy?
I know her as Robin Bryant. I knew her. So Robin did not go to my college. She went to the college of...
do you know this person? Let me talk about it.
I met her through some people I knew. In college, we hung out
a bit. Great question. I had that myself, question when I would kind of break it in and watching some of this about the judge needs to intervene is what it's saying here. I think the judge is also, look, he deals with her on a daily basis, presumably, or at least her office. So he's not so inclined to do this. He's trying to give her some professional courtesy too here. She's a fucking attorney. She should basically know better. And she's treating this courtroom like a monkey show. And so, yes, he does need to intervene. He does at one point here. And I played that clip at the start.
When I was in Washington, D.C., but we hung out a bit. After college, I lost contact with her. I probably didn't see Robin again until maybe 7 or 8 years ago, a chance meeting here in Atlanta, but we did not have a consistent relationship from when I left college and came to Emory Law School here in Atlanta. But 8 to 10 years ago, just by happenstance, I ran into her.
So
she was in Atlanta.
You have been friends with Robin for 30-something years.
Did you hear my answer, madam?
Yes, and I'm asking if you've been friends with her for 30-something years.
I've known her for 30-something years. We certainly hung out and partied together in college. She was from the D.C. area. She would come home and party together. Wasn't close, but she was certainly in the girlfriends that party together.
What do you think a party with Fonny is like?
A
lot of blow?
So we didn't talk throughout that time period. I didn't see
her.
I didn't even know where she was. When I ran into her, I was surprised she was in Atlanta. And so, yes, I have known her probably since 1990, 1991, but we have not maintained a consistent relationship that whole time.
For the last 10 years or 5, whatever you'd like to classify it as, have you been friends with her?
I have not spoken to Robin in over a year. I certainly do not consider her a
friend
now. I think that she...
Our buddy Might Be Wrong says, objection, non-responsive, over and over. It never came. Yes, you would hope that... I mean, yes, I got a problem with... But let me just chide in here, maybe a little bit of context. Sometimes, and by the way, if you don't know, I am an attorney and I do family law and I do a lot of cases, a lot of trials and in court a lot, little things where a lot of these civil trials are weeks and criminal things are weeks and months. We're just like 1 or 2 days, but I get a lot of action in there. Sometimes you are, depends on my client. I tell them when they testify, you're like a piano. You push a key, I only want to hear that note. So if you're being cross-examined and someone's asking you a question and they're asking you specifically, I will correct you and help you recover your whatever the problems you might have on redirect or cross. So, but if I'm direct, maybe even then. But when they're asking you questions, for the most part, don't give a story. I don't want to hear a song. I only want to hear that note. Now, sometimes opposing party is up there and I really want them to expound because they're going to get themselves in trouble. What? Okay. So sometimes this long conversation and this, it's annoying, but sometimes it becomes beneficial. Okay. Now you don't want them to just go on and you do need to rein this in by doing some objections so that they don't just get full play and get a run roughshod over the courtroom like that. Because then when you do start to chime in to object, sometimes the judge is kind of like, like you've been letting this go. But yes, let's do that. And you want to preserve the record for appeals and whatnot. But sometimes it's fantastic when they go over. Okay. Phobes said, easy to access frontal area for sure. The address, yes. Can't be held in contempt of court if you repeatedly do this filibuster type BS. Yeah, I get it. She definitely did some of that. Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to the riveting, stunning testimony. I'm not going to play all of this. Like I said, maybe we'll do this for an hour and then crap out.
You know, there's a saying, no good deed goes unpunished. And I think that she betrayed our friendship.
Titty cam.
So let's narrow it down the timeline now. So my questions are going to be from the time period of 2019 until she no longer was employed for you, the last time you all talked. So all of my next questions are just focused on that time frame, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Up until she left your office.
Yes, ma'am.
During 2019, you all were friends, correct?
Yes, we knew each other in 2019.
During 2020, you all were friends, correct?
We were friends during that time period.
During 2021, you all were friends, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Shannon, they're saggy tatas because that's the back of the dress. Although you think, I don't know, I haven't worn a dress backwards. Maybe Andy, are you in the chat? You can tell us what it's like, but yeah.
And such good friends that when you needed a place to stay, you asked her if you could take over her lease.
That's a lie.
You did not move into her apartment?
I did, but that's not the way you characterize it. It's wrong.
I asked if you asked if you could take over her lease.
I did not ask if I could take over her lease.
Did you move into her apartment?
I moved into her condo in April of 21. The circumstances around that were that Robin met her husband. They wanted to move into another and separate place. She wanted to get rid of her condo.
I don't understand all of this, and I wish I did, which because I haven't done all the research, because we're just playing this. We're just joining in progress. But I think some of this has to do with like her dad and her moving out of the district and still being there. So this has to do with her living arrangement, where she was at, because she got elected and she was in a house. Then she had to leave, even though she's a DA and they couldn't have the police there. So she leaves. And then something about her dad being registering to vote. So there's all this stuff, which I haven't dove into. Maybe I will in the next few weeks, God forbid. But there's some of that. Okay. Might Be Wrong says, I am curious if she admitted to breaking campaign finance law. I didn't know enough about that to know, but yes, but it was definitely sus. What I got was, and by the way, I don't know if we'll get to it, because if I was a real good podcaster, I would have had clips all specific to this, but I have time. And this is a informal podcast. We do this together, people. But what I do understand is she was giving her buddy, her bang buddy, money, and she would pay him in cash. And I think it was out of the campaign stuff there. So there's a lot of problems here in general. And the clip I played at the beginning, the judge is warning her, maybe don't speak, because she claims the fifth. Okay. She takes the fifth on some things. So if you take the fifth, it's pretty much you're shutting down your testimony, but she on that issue. And then she continues to talk about it. And he's like, I don't want to keep warning you, but you may be breaking your Fifth Amendment privilege. So, stop it. Okay. Are you drinking gay beer, Tyler? I don't know. You tell me. This is Tahoe Deep. It's a Knee Deep Brewing Company, local. It's a West Coast Imperial IPA, 8.5. Oh, fuck me up. Possibly, but when it goes to beer, I do go gay. Shannon says, "Well, if Tyler, if Tyler doesn't get this, we fucking won't." Okay, good point. Queer beers matter too. I feel like this all has the makings of a true crime episode. Shannon, my wife's been listening to the one that you gave to her. Her name is definitely on a pencil and Clinton's list. Yeah, IPA is good stuff. Phobe says, oh, the blue looks like Bud Light. It's not. It's I don't drink that. My favorite is hazy IPAs. And let me just tell you, I was drinking hazies and then I would break out. And there's a video you can go check out last year or so where I looked like I was banging homeless gay men and they were like jizzing on my face because it was all problematic. And I figured out it was hazies. So I don't know if I'm allergic to them for somehow, but I do the West Coast. There we go. Okay, let's get back into this this horrible lady.
My father was living with me at the house. Because of this case and because of my stance on gangs, my life was being threatened regularly. My father urged me to leave our home. At the same time, as luck would have it, Robin wanted to give up her lease because she wanted to move in with this new man she met, who eventually became her husband. And so as life circumstances worked, my dad was begging me to leave the house. He was afraid for me, afraid for his grandchildren. She wanted someone to take over her lease so that she didn't, you know, have to pay a fee or get abandoned. And so I don't remember when, but probably March or April of 21, I move in and take over her lease.
And did you pay her or did you pay the leasing agent?
son. I don't even know who the leasing agent was. I paid her.
You paid her. Did you pay her cash or did you use the card?
There were some times that I would give her cash, and there, but mostly I paid her via Cash App. That would be the most convenient thing. So I would not only give her her rent, but then like when the utilities would come in, whatever the utility was, she might be like, I need $70. I need $100, whatever.
Okay. I just want to chime in here because Might Be Wrong made a great point about campaign finance stuff. I'm sorry. You don't be paying your pals in cash. When you're in this situation, I'm sorry, you have got to do everything where it's on the up and up. So, at least reportable or seen so that you don't have these issues. By the way, her dad comes in. This was Thursday. Her dad testified today and they asked him about cash. Do you teach your daughter how to, you know, it's because there's a whole thing here about paying in cash. And he's like, look, I don't mean to be racist, but a black man, you just pay in cash. And then he tells a story about 1980 or somewhere around there where he was in Washington, D.C., and they wouldn't let him on this base. They wouldn't let him do this. And then they wouldn't take a credit card. They wouldn't take a check. So I always keep cash in for this. And it's like, somehow I'm not buying it. So, okay, you guys are talking amongst yourselves. Keep talking amongst yourselves.
Whatever it was, and we never had a problem with money. Whatever she told me it was, I never asked to see a bill. I never questioned her. I just gave it to her.
What percentage would you say you paid cash versus Cash App?
Oh, most of the vast majority was Cash App. I don't know what percentage. I'm not going to guess that. But the vast majority was Cash App. But there would be times she would say, you know, this bill came in at $70. Here goes $70.
Did you have a monthly rent amount that you paid her?
I can't remember. It was $1,500. I can't remember what it was. And it would vary, which I don't understand to this day. But like I said, I never questioned her.
When did
Whenever
you move
she
out?
Said it was, that's what I paid.
When did you
I
move
abruptly
out?
Moved out in February, either late January or early February of 22.
Of 22?
Yes,
February 2022, is that what you said?
January, February of 22. I believe it is January, but I paid her half the rent of February of 22 is what I remember. And because I was offering to pay the whole rent, even though I didn't live there, I didn't think it was right. I ended up just paying her half the rent.
So that's after you moved out? You said you paid her half. Okay. And the time that you said you had to move out of your house because you were scared, did your dad stay there at your house?
My father was concerned. Yes, we were both concerned.
Okay. But he remained there.
My father's 80 years old. He would have been 79. He was scared to death of COVID. You have to go back to when this was. My father's an older man.
By the way, let me get to a few things here. Sorry, like I said, it's an informal podcast. So her dad testifies today, and they ask him, because there's some questions about voter fraud of him because he moved to Georgia and then was voting there. And I don't know if he was actually able to do so or not, about when he lived in California and if he was in there or Washington, D.C. And he's like, and they said, 2019. And he's like, oh, let me tell you, I know all about 2019 because COVID was a big deal. I go to movies once a week. I couldn't go to the movies. And so she's just talking about her dad and then the movie thing. So he's going all in about this. And then the attorney, when he's done, says, COVID happened in 2020. I'm asking about 2019. He said, that. I had been in South Africa. I traveled the world. I knew COVID was happening before everyone else did. And I'm like, and you didn't tell anybody? Those millions of people's lives are on your hands. Okay. Phobes says, I went to New Belgium Breweries in Asheville, North Carolina. Way to dox yourself. They give a tour of the brewery, including a free glass of beer. Okay. I went to grad school in at University of Colorado in Boulder. I raced for that. And then we also used to Fort Collins, just up the road a bit, about, let's say 45 minutes to an hour and a half or so. So I went up to Fort Collins. That's where New Belgium Brewery started, was Fort Collins, Fat Tires. I'm sorry. I know all about New Belgium Brewery. Okay. What else we got here? Might be wrong. I'd Cash App her layers. Okay. You guys are talking amongst yourselves again. Let's keep going here.
I wanted him to move out. We had some discussions about him moving out, and what he decided was the risk.
Right,
of
she does live like a trust fund baby.
Than the risk of the people that were threatening. Typical man, more worried about his daughter and his grandchildren than his own safety. You'll get to meet him, and you'll understand he doesn't scare too easily.
So your grandkids, no, he's a Black Panther. Were living at the house as well at that time.
Well, I don't know how old your children are, but if, when you have adult children, they leave and they come back. They leave and they come back.
Titty cam.
There have been periods of time that they're there, they come, they do whatever they want to do. Children do what children do. As long as their mother has a house, they'll come to it. Unfortunately, now the threats because of this case have gotten so extreme. I just pay a mortgage and no one lives there.
And that's what I was going to ask you. So when you moved out in, I think you said April 2021, you left your dad and your two kids at the house?
My dad and my two kids were not at the house.
They were not. Okay, so they didn't still live at your house.
My youngest daughter certainly did not live there. My oldest daughter would come back and forth. I can't say month for month when she was there or when she was not there. I know that she has been there post me moving out. At this time, no one is at my house.
So at some point after you moved out for the safety reasons, your at least one of your children did come
Ms.
back.
Ms. Merchant, can we get to either the relationship or the financial benefit?
Yes. Let's see. We were back at 2021. So you were still friends with Ms. Yerdy then. Were you also friends with Mr. Bradley?
I've never been friends with Mr. Bradley.
You've never been friends with Mr. Bradley?
No, I don't.
By the way, I'm going to say this again. I am not impressed other than when you show the titty cam of Trump's attorneys in general. Okay. Attorneys in as a whole, the hot chick that was doing his criminal case up in New York, not seemingly super bright, just super hot. He doesn't get these. Robert Barnes, a very smart guy for being on podcasts like myself. But I'm probably better in the courtroom. He's a super smart guy and I know he's a famous attorney, but good Lord, you know, I know if he's helped necessarily Trump, but some of the advice that he's helped with, there's been big default cases that's happened to two cases he was involved in, which was Trump and Alex Jones. Okay. These are mind boggling to me. Okay. What happened, but whatever, by the way, I only signal out him specifically because he's a fat fuck. And he blocked me on Twitter because he was going after Scott Horton, people. He was going after Scott Horton, and I had to defend him. And he was such a big pussy. But anyway, there we go.
I don't consider us to be friends. I don't dislike Mr. Bradley, but I don't consider us to be friends.
Is he someone that you would have in your phone and you would message with?
I might have text messaged him.
Okay. Would you text message him and Mr. Wade on the same conversations?
I don't recall doing that, but if it happened, it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, so that wouldn't surprise you, the three of you. Okay. How frequently would you think that the three of you would have texted?
Not very. I wouldn't think very often, but you're asking me to recall. I don't even know what time period you're asking me to recall, but I'm not going to speak to that because I just really don't know the answer to that. So I don't want to speculate as to how often that would happen. But it's not out of my practice to text two people on one text message. So if you told me that happened and showed it to me, it wouldn't surprise me, although I have no recollection of it.
But there would be some record of it in your phone, or the phone records would have some record of those texts.
Perhaps.
She's such a hostile witness.
You know, you said that sometimes you paid Ms. Yerdy cash. When you went on vacation with Ms.
Okay, tell you what we're going to do. Nothing's happening here right away. So let's skip ahead. We're just going to go. Let's see if we can see where she's more exasperated. Just clip over here. 27 minutes in. Whoa, people. Okay, so I'm going to pause this. For some reason, they have one of these things where it has ads in here. So we'll have to get past that in a little bit. Look, you guys are talking about Barnes. Let me just say, I think he's much smarter than me, okay? He knows the Constitution. He went to Harvard, blah, blah, blah. I think he gives bad advice on a lot of things. He does things in a way that are maybe like the libertarians live in, you know, libertarian in Capistan in your head type of thing. Like his advice out there that he's been talking about, which is Trump is immune to any kind of prosecution at all because he was president for anything thereafter. I think that's going to be rough, and I don't think the Supreme Court's going to come down in the favor. So it's nice that you project that at all, but how about at one point you say some things like, with that said, is that likely to happen? This is my interpretation, a narrow reading, and this is how I would argue it for him as a, you know, as my client, but what's the likely outcome? No, because what he needs to do is grift. And so what you do then is you project to everyone that Trump has no liability as an individual citizen leave after he leaves office, okay? Or for raping someone. There's a case out there. But now, do I think these cases are all bullshit? Absolutely. But what you're doing is then you stir up the mix of your own right-wing culture that they are so ingrained with Trump is going to be, he's God, first of all, and that he's going to be let off. And then if it doesn't happen this way, oh my God, we're shook. And I'm to my core about how this happened, because Robert Barnes said this is a legal precedent that it should never be prosecuted for this. I don't know that that's the case. Now, I'm not digging into it, but when I hear him say these things, I'm like, yeah, that appears to me to be a very narrow take of it, which is perhaps brilliant take, but is it likely to happen? And probably not. So let's set everybody up to be more inclined to be upset about everything. And that's my problem with him over and over and over. Plus, he's such a bitch about Israel. And by the way, yeah, I've been drinking a little bit. Let's keep going. Let's see what happened here. Fana.
To Atlanta and leave. We flew down to Miami. We got on a cruise ship. We spent a couple of days with his mama.
Bam.
We came back to Miami. When we came back to Miami, either that day or the next day, we flew to Aruba. We spent a few days in Aruba.
Shit.
And we came back. That was really one trip, though. Even though we went two places, it was one
they
trip.
They might be wrong is really true. She's living like a 20-year-old trust fund baby.
Is that when you were moving your daughter out to California? When you all went, or did you have two trips to California?
My daughter doesn't live in California.
Did she ever live in California?
I'm not discussing the location of my child.
So how many times did you go with Mr. Wade to California?
Once.
And you all stayed in Napa Valley and he paid for the plane tickets and the hotel?
He paid for the plane tickets and the hotel.
And what did you pay for on that trip?
I gave him much less cash that time, probably $400 or $500. And then I paid for a bunch of stuff. I think we did two different wine tours that you do, which are pretty expensive. I think I bought him. He likes wine. I don't really like wine, to be honest with you. I like Grey Goose.
Shit. Okay. She likes Hennessy. Let's be honest here. Shannon, and we're jumping in here. Shannon asks, Tyler, please give me the Tyler Notes version of why libertarians are fighting again. Is it a specific couple? Like, are they PSYOP? I haven't been on Twitters lately. So, by the way, Shannon, maybe someday. I don't bring women on this show. My wife did come on. Maybe you come on with my wife and we can talk crime. Maybe. I said maybe. Okay. Now, I see Dave Smith recently arguing with people about borders. So Texas, watch back a few episodes. I did a breakdown about this. I did a Spaces with Dave and Scott Horton. I chimed in because I think there's been a lot of misunderstanding about the border issue. Jesus, this beer is coming up on me. So I would say check back to my episode. Look at Brian McClanahan's take on a lot of this because he is right. 10th Amendment Center, they are also right. A lot of people are wrong or they just take assumptions about whether this. Even Greg Abbott seems to be arguing incorrectly about a lot of things with this border. So with that in mind, that's the pretext. And then Dave gets into it with borders. He came on and said some things to Clint Russell about Tucker Carlson. So there's some Tucker Carlson stuff going on. There's some border issues going on. And where we open borders or close borders, that's a lot of the infighting. Honestly, I agree with Dave on this, and it doesn't interest me. And so I just let it go. As far as a PSYOP couple going, are you talking about Jack Lloyd and his pretend American wife? They are annoying as fuck. Okay. And I know I'm trying to get Tom Woods on the show. Pete reached out, said, yeah. And then Tom reached out to me and said, hey, oh, come on. We're trying to organize it. It hasn't happened yet. He's not really getting back to me. There's a little bit of fear I have that this may never happen. And I know he's friends with Jack Lloyd. Jack Lloyd blocked me. And it could only be, I could assume, because I don't follow him. He had DM'd me on Facebook at one point trying to sell me some of his products and I deleted it. I never responded. Maybe that was it. I don't know. But he and his wife are going crazy and stupid on the Israel thing. Now, there's the border stuff. There's Tucker. There's Jack Lloyd being stupid. And then there's this Josh Eagle. And him and Jonathan Casey in the liberal caucus are just real pieces of shit. Jonathan Casey, as a specific thing, if you go to my YouTube page, and it's probably even on the Rumble, I broke out. It's like a 15-minute thing of he and Clint trying to have a debate. The problem is he calls Clint basically a pedophile, a protector or a sympathizer because he had certain people on his show. It's so disingenuous and disgusting. I'm friends with Clint, of course, so I do defend him, but Clint's not wrong in this case either. So he goes and he's real tough boy on this thing. Then he has Dave on a podcast or Dave comes on his podcast and he's all real nice. And I'm like, Dave, I'm sorry, Dave had Fuentes on. You. That's who you were claiming was the problem on Clint's thing. Clint had Russell. it's Clint Russell, but Thaddeus Russell on his show, and that was the whole thing of the age of consent. That's how he said he was a pedophile, I don't know, massager, or sympathizer type of thing, or pushing these things. So just Jonathan Casey is a royal piece of shit, okay? He's a disingenuous, and I say that because he's disingenuous, and he assigns guilt and blame to people like Clint and others that he won't do to, and so he's real bad. Josh Eichel is bad, and they are all having arguments, and Dave is at least finally calling them out as being the pieces of shit that they are, and I don't have a problem doing that either. So let's reiterate, Robert Barnes, piece of shit. Thaddeus Russell, I'm okay with Thaddeus. He gave me high compliments about my review of his podcast. I don't agree with everything he says, I think, but I think he's done some good work. Clint Russell, my boy, Tower Gang, and I produce that show, so of course I'm not going to talk bad about it. Plus, he's one of the first shows I reviewed and kind of got me, and he came on the show a few times, and he's been super nice to me. Very nice to me, and in person, too. So I don't say shit about him. Who else did we see? Josh Eagle, piece of shit. Jonathan Casey, royal piece of shit. Jack Lloyd, I don't know. It's just he's a cosplay with his wife. Was that enough, Shannon? I think we've got it. Okay. Dave Smith versus Jack Lloyd versus Wiz Yon. Exactly. They're fighting about borders and many times. Yeah, I don't really care. And by the way, I don't care. It's one of these things. We can have libertarian principles, but, and I know there's the Alex, I'm trying to remember his name, with Cato. He's talked about this, and he differs. And I know there's the, and I'll say what he differs about. And there's also the, and by the way, Nick Gillespie, damn, fuck you. You said you're going to come on the show, and I keep working on this, and you haven't come on, and it's been almost 2 years now. Maybe I'll see him at the California convention, and I'll rile him up. But a lot of these people, what was I saying? What were we talking about? I don't know. I'm a little tipsy, as you say. But they have differing points of view. So anyway, let's get back to this. Maybe I'll remember. Wow, that really went quick. That's what happens when you get my age, I guess.
I bought him a bottle of wine while we were there, and the sippings that you do. I can't remember how many, like four or five different places you go. I remember we went to this place that they do pairings. That was the most expensive thing that I think that we did while we were there. So they would pair.
I'm sorry, I got to go back here because she showed the titty cam, but I remembered what I was saying, which is, you've got this. No, I don't remember it again. You got this infighting. What the fuck is happening here?
And you all stayed in Napa Valley, and he paid for the plane tickets and the hotel?
He paid for the plane tickets and the hotel.
And what did you pay for on that?
Oh, yeah, I did remember. Which is the reality. Living in reality. Okay, so you have this theory, and I get it. And this Alex Narwatz or whatever his name is, Cato, he's talked about how and I know there's the Milton Friedman line that goes with, social programs and open borders. You've got to cut down social programs before you just have open borders. Open borders may be fine, but you can't fund them entirely. And a matter of fact, I have clips ready for Nick Gillespie to come on to ask him about, which is in the Democratic convention debate of whatever it was, the last one that we had, 2020, for that election. They asked them about open borders, okay? But before they asked them about, and everyone raised their hand type of thing, but before they did that, they asked him about healthcare for non-residents or illegal aliens, and they were all mostly for it. So now you say they're for giving out healthcare for anybody who's not an American citizen, and they also want open borders. That, to me, doesn't work. Now, this Alex fuck from Cato, he's all, no, economically, it works out. And I don't believe him at all. Let's overrun the system and give it. So basically saying, everyone from China could come over here and we'll give them free healthcare. How's that going to work? That just doesn't work. Okay. I know I'm way behind on a lot of these. It's your show, Tyler. You hit the pause button and tell, no borders here, buddy. Yeah. Okay. Let's keep going.
I gave him much less cash that time, probably $400 or $500, and then I paid for a bunch of stuff. I think we did two different wine tours that you do, which are pretty expensive. I think I bought him. He likes wine. I don't really like wine, to be honest with you. I like Grey Goose.
Hennessy.
I bought him a bottle of wine while we were there, and the sippings that you do. I can't remember how many, like four or five different places you go. I remember we went to.
By the way, I mean, look, I don't disagree with it. Living in reality, the phobe says, The living in reality line doesn't apply here. The people crossing the border are doing it because of perverse incentives, but state force against people who haven't initiated force is not acceptable. I don't disagree with that, but my problem is the incentives. So until the incentives can be backtracked, you have to always live in reality. And sadly, I live in California, which is a utopian wannabe, but that's my reality. Okay. So when my taxes are just out of this world and I put, you know, give all my money, my wife, she got a bonus at work and it's, you know, yearly bonus type of thing. It's not a ton of money, but it's a decent amount. And she does a lot of, portion of it goes to her 401k anyway. So we have a little bit. And then the government takes that. She sent to me the text the other day when she told me, she goes, and then of course the government gets their money for, you know, their hard work part of it. Yeah. And what does it do? It goes to just obliterate homeless, everything. It's just horrible here. So I get what you're saying, but until you're able to remove all that, you know, we've got problems. Privatized. Look, I'm with all these things, but until it happens, let's get back to the titty cam.
To this place that they do pairings. That was the most expensive thing that I think that we did while we were there. So they would pair champagne, chocolate, and caviar. It was a three, and it was like three different things. Sweden, Russia, someplace else. I'll make that up. But that was the most expensive thing we did that trip, and I paid for that.
You pay cash?
For us doing that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that trip did not cost me a lot of money. I might have.
I'm gonna jump forward about an hour.
Extremely
Oh shit! And then we got a commercial. So we'll look at this ocean. Have you done cruises before? Speaking of which, JC says I'm against any borders dividing me and Andy. So I'm going to Tennessee in June. So I will see Andy. I'm going to South Carolina in June as well. So I'm going out there for a wedding and then with family stuff. So I don't know if any of you live out there, but we could always coordinate to meet up with me and my wife if you want. Let's skip this and play it. Here we go. Ready, Fanny?
All I ask is who knew? It's not, if the answer is no one knew, that's fine. No. Nope. I ask you who knew.
Answer it and then explain this to us.
I am very private. When I supervised Mr. Boddy and Mr. McAfee, they didn't know who I was dating, but I can assure you I was dating somebody. So that I kept something private, that's my private life, is not any mystery to anyone. It's like a woman doesn't have the right to keep her private life private. And I'm speaking on this because there have been all these intimations.
You still haven't answered the question.
Is that a word? Intimation.
Is there anyone else who knew about it? And then you can explain.
I don't know.
By the way, I'm sorry. I'm so distracted here. Does anyone remember the Seasteading Institute? That was probably a psyop looking back on it. I saw that guy at the California convention. He was giving a talk and he looked just like, I'm trying to remember, just like Rand Paul, I think. I'm trying to remember his name. So yes, it is a thing. If you break down in Atlanta, I got you. We're not driving poor. I'm flying out to South Carolina from Sacramento, flying out to South Carolina. Nice area. My niece is getting married out there. Why out there when they're all from California? No fucking clue. But the family's flying out there. I'm flying the whole family. I'm even flying my son's girlfriend out. She just finished nursing school. So anyway, they're flying out. Then we're going over to Tennessee and we're going to be over there, Nashville for like 3 or 4 days. So I will see Andy and, it's going to be exciting. My wife's like, so when you meet Andy, you're going to give him a big hug? What are you going to do? And I'm like, oh, stop it. Of course.
I don't think so.
Get my kids.
I certainly didn't go out telling my business to the world.
Okay, so the best of your recollection, you didn't inform anyone on the prosecution team that the individual that you had chosen to lead the prosecution team had a personal relationship with you. Is that correct?
That's inaccurate. Your question is inaccurate.
What?
Because you stated that the person I chose, we had a personal relationship. So we had a friendship. We have all these distinguishing factors. Remember, when I chose him in November of 21, first of all, let's get this straight. Mr. Wade was not actually my first choice. That's no insult to him.
Your Honor,
it is because of the way you phrased the question.
As a boyfriend or a special prosecutor? Hey-o!
Question. You said, when I chose him, I didn't inform people of a personal relationship. We have defined personal as romantic. It is an inaccurate way to state the question.
And I will certainly restate it so it is very accurate.
Okay, and please do not yell at me.
You hired Mr. Wade for the first time on November 1st of...
Oh, titty cam, no more. I don't want to see the titty cam anymore.
Your testimony is, whether one accepts it or not, your testimony is that at the time you hired Mr. Wade, there had never been a romantic relationship with Mr. Wade before you hired him, correct?
Yes, my testimony is that we were very good friends, but not, we're talking about sex, so let's just don't.
Well, no, I'm not talking about, I'm saying romantic relationship doesn't necessarily have to be just sex. Well, it can be.
This bitch, she doesn't believe in waiting until marriage. What
is dating? It can be holding hands. It can be any of those things that one might.
She's like, look, in my defense, I fuck on the first date. Okay, so sorry.
Call romantic. I'm asking you whether or not prior to November 1st of 2021, there was a romantic relationship with Mr. Wade. It's very simple. It's either a yes or a no.
I don't consider my relationship with him to be romantic before that. I'm not a handholder, so no.
That's fine. Now, let's move beyond November 1st of 2021.
She's like, I don't give hand jobs. I do blow jobs. So yeah, hands are out.
2021, excuse me. I understand your testimony. There was no romantic relationship with Mr. Wade until early in 2022, whether it be January or February or March, early in 2022, correct?
I would say sometime between February and April. Yes, sir.
All right. Now, I'm asking you about that time period when it became romantic.
Yes.
Okay? Are they going to... Is she going to say the first date he penetrated her? I mean, we played just the tip, right? But we were soaking, so technically it doesn't count, and therefore there was not a romantic relationship. Next question, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. You didn't see the need, if I understand, to tell any of the people on the prosecution team when
those
you
are bad.
Established a romantic relationship.
By the way, might be wrong. I don't know who you are, but you've completely. Yes, I've been looking at this. By the way, this part of here on the forehead. It's like what was the guy's name on Star Trek? Deep Space Nine, but just the regular Star Trek. The Vulcan, or whatever it was. He had the thing in his forehead. That's what she looks like here. It looks fake. Looks fake, like her dress backwards.
That the lead prosecutor, that is the people, the man that was basically giving orders to others, was dating or having a romantic relationship with you, correct?
I'm going to object to relevance at this point, Your Honor.
Just no relevance?
Just to prove or attempting to show that there is
an issue on
credibility about the relationship. The failure to have informed anyone on her team that she was having a romantic relationship with the lead prosecutor, I suggest gives rise to that inference. That's
Worf. Worf was his name. Worf, I believe.
The inference that they were concealing this because it was not as it's been characterized to the court, and that in fact it started earlier than what they say.
All right, overruled, Mr. Dana.
I just want to make sure that we're clear. From at least 2020, me and Mr. Wade were friends, at least that time period.
Okay, I'm not talking about.
I want to be clear because my credibility is being evaluated here, right? We were friends. We hung out. Prior to November of 2021, in November of 2021, I hired him. I do not consider our relationship to have become romantic until early of 2022. Because I don't know a date and time. I'm saying sometime between February and April of 2022. And
all right, people. So I got to do this. So let's. I think I found her picture. I mean, come on. Did we do it? Did we do it? Yeah. Look at that. That's her. That's her. Okay. I'm almost done here. We'll watch a little bit more. I mean, come on, people. This is me just having a good time.
Very early April of 2022, because I know that trip that I discussed with you was like the first week of 2022, that the relationship had become romantic. I hope that answered your question, but I can't have it where, you know, we're saying something differently.
All right, so you've established the timeline, as you put it. The question originally was, At that time, did you tell any other prosecutors on the prosecution?
I never tell people at work who I'm dating.
All right, Mr. Sato.
Okay. Did you take any trips to D.C. with Mr. Wade?
Never.
So you have no what I would call personal trips or business trips to D.C. with Mr. Wade?
I never went to D.C. with Mr. Wade, personal, business, otherwise, never.
Okay, so
I've never been in the District of Columbia with Mr. Wade or Maryland, Virginia, the DMV, as they call it.
So as I understand it,
hey.
Any trips that you would have taken to see D.C.
That was a pretty clear answer.
Huh?
That was a pretty clear answer. She just said no.
She said no.
So do you have a variation or something new to bring up?
I'll ask it and we'll see. Did you take trips to D.C. that were non-business during the time period that this case?
Oh, shit. She's born in 1971, people. I just looked it up here because someone asked her age. As an American attorney, she is a district attorney of Fulton County, Georgia, which contains most of Atlanta, serving since 2021. She's the first woman to hold the office. Who fucking cares? Willis investigated the 2020 presidential election in Georgia, which resulted in indictments against Donald J. Trump and 18 alleged co-conspirators on charges of racketeering and other crimes. Born in 1971, same age as yours truly. That's me. Tyler Yonke. All right, where the fuck is this one? Let's keep going here.
This matter was under investigation.
I'm going to object as to the relevance as it relates to the matter that we're here before, Your Honor.
Well, again, the question I asked is, take personal or business trips.
Okay, we're gonna skip forward here. We'll probably get another ad. Fuck me. Okay, so we got to mute this. Okay, we'll go through there. I'm going to jump forward here, and then we're almost done. I'm going to give you an update on another case here that we're interested in.
Who does the filter for this election interference case? When we're talking about filter the contract they had that neither one of them has any longer.
Thanks, Bob.
I have another lawyer that does that for me. It was only for police brutality cases. It's for what I call the, so when I first got to be the DA, I had, the whole unit was called anti-corruption. It dealt with both elections and police brutality cases. I actually took a trip to Houston and visited the district attorney in Houston. They divided their work up, and I thought the way she was doing it was better than me. And so
Okay, I'm done with this bitch. There was a lot of good testimony there. One last thing I will do, we'll bring up here. This was a Supreme Court case. I'm going to play a real quick thing. This was just decided 9-0, and I think it's kind of interesting. So the arguments.
This morning, case 22-846, the Department of Agricultural Rural Development, Rural Housing Service versus Kurtz. Mr. Snyder?
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. The question in this case is whether Congress unambiguously waived the sovereign immunity of the United States when it amended the Fair Credit Reporting Act in 1996 to provide that any person who violates FCRA's requirements is liable for money damages. The answer to that question is no.
Okay, and he's wrong because the court came back 9-0 in favor of Mr. Kurtz, who was suing the Department of Consumer Protection, I think. They fucked up his credit report. And anyway, they passed the law. And so, yeah, they basically have said they waived the sovereign immunity issue. And the sovereign immunity is also at issue with the case in Texas that there's a you can't sue basically governmental entities unless they waive it specifically. And there's been waivers. So that is what we have there. Let's go ahead. Compare forehead wrinkles. I'm going to do I'm going to tweet it out. So, by the way, everyone go out there. Look, why is my banner thing? Let's take a look here. My wife, by the way, my wife is texting me for some reason about show display names. Why is it not? Maybe I need to remove this. There we go. Okay, my Twitter is Tyler Yonke, TylerJanke. So my wife is messaging me because she had a dream last night about this dude Vinny that she went to high school with, and he's not attractive, but she was like making out with him. And by the way, I'm so curious as to people that I do not get jealous of shit like this because I have a good relationship with my wife. If she has a dream about some ugly fuck that she went to high school with that she had a dream about, you can't control your dreams. And I know there's somewhat whatever, but I don't necessarily tell her, you know, whatever. By the way, this is fascinating to me, which is my first wife. We just didn't have much of a romantic relationship. You think of that as you will. After we got married, it was really odd. We somehow had two kids. But anyway, it's the way it is. And it wasn't a warm relationship. And I had dreams a lot during that marriage about like meeting like your best friend, your soulmate, right? Type of thing. And I'd wake up and it'd be sad. It was a sad thing. I met her and it's my wife, Gina, and she's fantastic. She's my best friend and I just absolutely adore her. And we've been together for what, 11, 12 years now. So, That's my situation now. So I don't have those kind of dreams anymore. But sometimes you have, you know, dreams where you're hanging, hooking up with people, and I feel guilty actually in the dream. It's funny. So I don't have the right. But do you guys tell your spouse or your girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever about if you have dreams with about someone else? Because I know people get upset. They get legitimately upset about it. Something you can't necessarily control, but like, because subconsciously you wanted to be fucking that person. Maybe I did. But my wife, she had this dream about this guy, Vinny. And so what'd she say here? She said, oh, she sent me a text here while we were doing the show. She said, I think I need a massage. I said, I'll do it like Vinny. And she said, dude, Vinny is not attractive. And then she's asking me, are you massaging me? I don't know what she's saying here. Okay. Funny shit. I hope you all get to meet us someday. My wife's pretty cool. Might be wrong, says I will actually wake myself up from unrealistic dreams. It sucks. Depends on what the dream is. Jay Fort says, but she'd wake up in the dream and I'd be mad if you were waking up making out with Vinny. That can't happen. I hadn't had a spouse for a while, but I don't think I've ever had a dream about anything else. Okay. Shannon says, Tyler, I don't have dreams because you have to sleep with one eye open. Scary stuff, people. Oh boy. By the way, I had a great time tonight. I appreciate you all coming, hanging out. 4 o'clock Pacific. What is that? 4 o'clock Pacific, 6 Central, 7 Eastern. We're trying to do this every Friday. I'm just continuing to do it, but check out the Tower Gang as well. I helped produce that show. I'm trying to make it worthwhile. I have a little segment at the end, and this last week I didn't even prepare for it. I just kind of threw some shit together, and it's always abrupt. Kind of, I don't know how to say it. I have some stuff prepared. I'm getting absolutely zero feedback from fans, from you guys, from the Tower Gang. So I don't know if it's going well or not, but Eddie Graham says, appreciate you. It's fun. Yeah. Thanks everybody. So I'll keep doing some legal stuff. I got more stuff in the works for that. We'll do some more clips. Like always, we got some interviews. I do have some people in the works. I am working on, I've been putting it in, by the way, this is 9 Inch Nails. I don't know if you guys care about that, but I've been putting it in the works. I'm doing a deep dive on Dave Smith's podcast, and I've gone back because I'm a Gas Digital. I've all the way back to episode number one, and I'm pulling clips and stuff from that. And what I want to do is I actually want to do an interview with Robbie. I want to do an interview with Dave about the show specifically. And I've got Ian McCulloch. I want to get him, Tom Woods, a bunch of people. And then you know what? I have a job and I have a family. So this is the way it is. Thanks everybody for joining us tonight. Until next week. Take care, everybody. We love you. We do. Fans, and by the way, if you're out there in Tennessee or in South Carolina, let me know. June, see you. Bye.
Okay, I'm leaving now. Bye, guys.
But she's back.
And now.
Chick-fil-A is completely overrated. It's not that good. I prefer Zaxby's. I prefer Popeye's.
Takes a tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick. I guess that's me. Keep fucking that chicken.
Should I vote for Dick Cheney on the Libertarian Party? Do I have an obligation to vote for Dick Cheney?
I would say so.
Yes.
Did it work for those people?
No, it never does. I mean, these people somehow delude themselves into thinking it might, but it might work for us.
That one dude was like, not a podcast. I can't find it anywhere. They don't have video.
Oh, yeah, Peter Janke. Yeah.
Yeah, I blocked him.
I'll do it. If he unblocks me, I'll...
He'll buy your shirt if you unblock him, Bert.
He's a wigger.
Yeah, nothing cooler than so a 49-year-old wigger. Like, yeah,
I just started live streaming. Cut me some slack. I'm pretty high-tech for a boomer. But anyways...
Boomer.